The way the body was lying, it was obvious she hadn't seen it coming. Limbs splayed at a grotesque angle, a pool of blood dried black in the sun.
Been here a couple of days by the look of things.
And whoever killed her had also taken one of our legs, sawn off at the hip.
Yeah. Bring us the toolbox, Lucido. Let's have a look at you then.
Crime Down Under. Prime Cut by Alan Carter, dramatised by Adrian Bean. Episode 1.
Detective Sergeant James Buckley, Great Southern Highway, Monday, September the 11th, 10:21 a.m. Bullet number one entered just behind the left ear and exited through the right cheek.
What the hell are you doing here, Cato? You had it all. The golden boy. Face on the poster at recruitment fairs across Western Australia.
Bullet number two entered the left eye.
What a
tar.
And here you are, in the middle of the outback, miles from the nearest decent cup of coffee, running errands for a pom. Not how it was supposed to turn out.
I now intend to conduct an on-the-spot autopsy. Hand me a saw, mate.
Yeah.
No, the big one. Now, you hold on to the ears.
Oh, you're joking, right? Obviously not. Oh. Look, do we really need to do all this stuff? It's pretty obvious. A cow was run over, finished off with a couple of bullets to the head. The back leg was chopped off and taken home to the barbie. End of story.
She may be just a cow, but a crime's a crime, mate. And it's our job to find the bad guys. So, as your senior officer, I'd advise you to shut up, take this, and start sawing. Welcome to Stock Squad.
Jim, just gonna stink the car out. Not to mention the flies.
The sooner we get back to the office and get that head on ice, the better then.
Hello?
Hi! Sergeant Cato?
Turn that down, eh? Detective Senior Constable Quonk speaking. Who's this?
Cut the crap, Cato. It's me, D.I. Hutchins. Where are you?
Haven't a clue, sir. Middle of the desert somewhere?
Katanning.
Somewhere near Katanning. Wherever that is.
Enjoying life with the sheep shagging squad, then?
Loving it.
Right. Well, I got some real work for you. A body. Well, half one anyway. Human, though. Make a nice change for you, I guess.
Where?
Down in Hopetoun.
Hopetoun. South coast, 3 hours away. Good fishing.
Washed up this morning. Looks like a shark attack, but the local quack reckons the bloke might have been dead before he hit the water. Highly unlikely, but take a look. Fill out the paperwork. File it home for Friday. What do you say?
And today's Wednesday. If it really is that simple, I could be home in time for the weekend. It's my turn to have Jake.
Well, don't pretend you have to think about it.
Why aren't your people on it, sir? I'm supposed to be banished to the outer darkness, remember?
Don't be a smart-ass, Cato. I've got 3 on suspension, 2 on sick leave, 2 on holiday. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel. Thought of you immediately.
All right.
Good man. Take Buckley with you. Keep him away from those sheep.
Am I turning round then?
Which way's Hopetoun?
Back there.
Guess so.
3 hours away. Hope they got a big fridge.
It's mid-afternoon and 34 degrees by the time the Hopetoun Welcomes Careful Driver sign emerges from the heat haze over the road. This isn't your average one-horse outback town. There's something different about Hopetoun. The sense of a place being dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century.
Apparently, they opened some megabucks nickel mine here a few years ago. Place is like a honeypot for all kinds.
Sure enough, there are lots of men in work overalls and hard hats. As we drive along the main drag, a handful of guys look up. And in a payphone, a man in dusty blue and fluoro-yellow overalls puts a hand over his free ear, trying to block out the wind noise.
Hey, up, look! More than just one of you in town, then!
What Buckley means is that the guy in the phone box is Chinese. Like me.
Hey, maybe they got a chinky restaurant here.
But there are no Chinese restaurants in Hopetoun. There's a cafe. Closed. A pub. The Park Hotel. Also closed. A motel, And the shop.
After that, it's all Southern Ocean as far as Antarctica. Welcome to Hopeton. End of the world and proud of it. Constable Grace Fisher, pleased to meet you. Have we met?
Don't think so. D.S.C. Kwong.
Cato to his mates. I'm Sergeant Jim Buckley.
Afternoon. Cato?
Yeah, as in the Pink Panther.
Not now, Cato!
Constable Fisher can't hide a momentary look of disbelief.
It's all right. I've got the nickname of Police Academy kind of stuck. So, Mrs. Hopeton.
Not much to look at, but we love it. Come into the office, meet the boss. Where's that accent from then? You a pom?
Wales, my girl. God's own country.
Not much inside. A couple of desks, an old PC straight out the arc, a large whiteboard on the wall, a handful of photographs blue-tacked in one corner, and in the middle, in capital letters, one word. Flipper.
Our little joke.
Tess.
Hi, Cato.
What are you...
I'm in charge here. Senior sergeant now. Long time no see.
Yeah.
At first glance, she still looks the same Tess. Older, obviously. But still looking good. And no ring on her finger.
So you're in the laughing stock squad. What do they say? If you come across a suspicious cow, do you take it back to the station and grill it?
Or leave it to stew. Yeah, heard them all.
But you have. Heard you were coming to town.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Fine. Thanks for asking.
Meeting Tess out the blue like that has knocked me sideways. I'm keen to get out of there, so I suggest checking out the beach.
Flipper, the body, was found here.
I have to ask, why Flipper?
The jogger who found him on the beach thought it was a seal at first, so the arm looked like a flipper. Phoned in this morning about 6. Just a torso. Male, white we think, one arm, no hand, and no head.
Grace, can you check on missing persons reports from the last few weeks or so?
Already under it.
And we need tide and weather conditions for the last few days. Might tell us where the body entered the water.
No shit, Sherlock.
Guess I should have expected the hostility from her. It was 12 years ago, but clearly a sore that hadn't healed. And why should it? Me, fresh out the academy and 4 years a junior, partnered up, working nights out of Midland, Perth's bandit country. The adrenaline had fed the spark between us. We were good together. Until I walked out on it.
Want to see the body now?
Evening, gentlemen. Hilary Lewis, pathologist. Sorry about starting without you, but I'm booked to give a talk at the Hopi Wine Club at 8. Forgive me for not shaking hands.
So, what have you found?
Medium-sized male, 20 to 40 age range. No obvious indications of any disease or illness. No scars, tattoos, or distinguishing birthmarks. And no obvious indications of racial origin. Pity about the missing hand. Might have had a wedding finger.
You reckon Shaq's?
Got the hand, the right arm and legs, yes. But the neck hasn't been snapped like you might expect from the wrenching movement of a shark's jaw. It's very neat compared to the punctures and tears everywhere else. Spinal column looks like it's been sheared with a clean, straight edge.
So what you're saying is either our shark had meticulous table manners or...
Or somebody's cut this bloke's head off.
I've taken blood, skin and tissue samples for the lab, but you're just in time for the best bit. The lungs.
Excuse me.
Confirmation. The lung contents rule out death by drowning. Your friend Flipper was definitely dead well before he hit the water.
So you're saying it's murder?
That's your job, not mine. Could be any number of reasons for what we have here. Accident, panic, cover-up, foul play. But I definitely say it's a bit fishy.
Crap. You sure?
The pathologist was definite.
Pass us a catch-up, mate.
I call Hutchins in the morning over breakfast. Tell him the news.
I've already got the bloody media knocking on my door because they heard the word shark attack. Now you're telling me it's a flaming murder.
I said suspicious death, sir.
Crap. Right. Hope I'm not going to regret this, Cato. Reckon you and Buckley can hold the fort for a week till I'm back to strength here?
Don't see why not.
I don't sound so keen. Just look and act like real detectives, but don't actually try to find anything out. We don't need it. Just walk the walk, then a weak Monday walk away. I'll have someone else down there by then, understand?
Won't let you down, boss.
Too right you won't. I'll clear it with the sheep shaggers. Any journos come sniffing, send them my way, I'll tell them to rack off. Don't stuff it up and I'll owe you one. I'd even bring you back in from the cold.
Yes! We're on the case for a week. Temporarily seconded to Albany detectives.
Oh, great. But you're in charge now, right?
Sorry, Jim. You'll still have a managerial overview.
No, as long as they don't dock my wages, I'll play second fiddle. Pam, can I have some more coffee here, please?
Just coming.
I suppose you'll be back off to Perth afterwards, if you don't screw up.
Here you go, detective. So, you're investigating the body on the beach. Reckon he'd been involved in drugs.
That's so.
Oh, yeah? Since that mine opened, the dealers have been targeting this place. Eastern States cartels out to make a killing.
Hey, Pam, can I get an order here?
All right, all right. Drugs. You mark my words.
It was Mick Hutchins who sent me to Stock Squad in the first place. Is Jim right? Could this be my way back to the world of real police detection?
All right, Operation Flipper is now a murder investigation. Official. And that's the last time anyone refers to the victim as Flipper. Also official. Grace, any news on the missed purse?
Yeah, there were 3 missing person reports within the Great Southern and Southeast Coastal Districts over the last 2 weeks. A 13-year-old girl, a 73-year-old woman...
Yeah, we're looking for a male, remember?
And a 36-year-old farm labourer from Jeddah Cut-Up. That one looked promising, but he's been located by Kalgoorlie police, sleeping off a bad hangover.
So nothing. Let's widen the trawl through the missed purse, get the whole state, no time limit. Meanwhile, what about the tides? Anything there? Tess?
The prevailing conditions around here are southwesterlies. Anything dropped in the ocean would tend to travel eastwards. Body's been in the sea no more than a week, tops, but for the last 4 days it's been nothing but easterlies.
So where do you think the body went into the water?
After talking with Sea Rescue, I'd say anywhere between Mason Bay and Starvation Bay. Stavo's about 40 kilometres from here. Mason's maybe halfway. There's a boat ramp at Stavo and easy beach access at Mason's, but my bet is Stavo.
Good. That's something.
Well, not really.
Jim, can you follow up any unusual activity in those spots over the last week? Uh-huh. Any strangers, any boats going out at unusual times, stuff like that?
Yeah, we'll do, maestro.
We also need to check known shipping and other boat traffic. Flip, the victim, could have been dumped by a passing tanker or trawler, for all we know. All right, everybody. Thank you.
Constable Grace Fisher.
Tess, how about a guided tour?
It's not the place it used to be. That's what you hear all the time. Since they opened the mine, the population's gone from 400 to 2,000 plus in a few years.
That's good, isn't it?
How would you like to have your retirement dream invaded by hordes of overpaid, oversexed contract workers? Creates tensions, no doubt, and keeps us busy. Here we are, McCulloch Park. Hang out for the disaffected youth of Hopeton to do drugs and experiment sexually.
Oof. Nice.
Come to think of it, I haven't seen him for a while.
Who?
The disaffected youth.
Just the one?
Jai Stevenson. His dad's made a fortune out of the nickel mine and the kid knows it. Some of the other teenagers get a bit excitable now and then, but Jai's the only kid in town who's shaping up to be a future statistic.
Particularly if he's experimenting sexually on his own.
Fancy a coffee, Kato?
Oh, you winding me up. The snack attack.
Hi, Justin. 3 Americanos, please.
I might pass on...
Just go with me almost.
3 Americanos. Nice day.
Usually is. This here's Detective Senior Constable Kwong from out of town.
Hi.
And Detective Sergeant Buckley. They'll be around for a few days.
Right.
Been here long yourself, Justin?
About 6 months.
And before that?
Frio, Margaret River. My girlfriend used to live there. She owns this joint.
Doing well for yourself, then.
Ooh, Justin's very popular with the yummy mummies. Hey, Justin?
There you go. On the house.
Thanks.
Ta.
Cheers, Justin. See you around.
Yeah.
Hey, it's all right.
Told you. Not quite the back of beyond, eh? So what gives, Jim?
Hmm?
You and Justin, you crossed paths before?
Yeah, about 3 or 4 years ago. Perth Cup it was. Pulled him over, found a big bag of eckies in the glove box. Turns out our Justin was a supplier of ecstasy to the rich and famous.
You're joking. You'd have thunk it.
Maybe the yummy mummies are getting more than sprinkles with their cappuccinos.
Never forget a face, me. Oh, what the hell? Hold this, will you?
Jim? Back again, gents. You must like my coffee.
Mind if we take a look over the van, Justin?
I'm busy. I've got customers.
Oh, you'll all pop back to the station if you like. Run a check on the police computer.
Help yourself.
Goodbye.
So, what's a bad boy like you doing in a place like this, Justin? Sea change. And there's good money to be made with the mine and everything. From what I hear, you like mixing it with the beautiful people, selling them all the best drugs. Then you hear wrong. I haven't sold anybody anything except coffee.
Come on, Justin.
Look, I admit I was a bit of a wild child in the past. I was younger then. People change. I've settled down now.
Nada. The place is clean. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you. See you again, Detective Buckley.
Oh, you will, lad. You will. See? I'm not just sheep and cows, Cato.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's a look of relief on Justin's face as we go. On the way back to Murder HQ, we stop for a smoko at a place called Seal Rock, about 300 metres offshore.
How did you end up in Stock Squad, Jim? Can't believe chasing runaway cows was your life's ambition.
I was a murder detective back home, you know.
You never told me, Jim.
You never asked.
So my question still stands.
You know, you see things. Things you can't get out of your head. Don't want to take home with you.
You know all about that.
Got too much to do?
Yeah. Well, there was just one case back in the 80s. Davy Arthurs. Killed his wife and kid by smashing their skulls in with a hammer and then electrocuting them DIY style, just to make sure, like.
Jeez.
Yeah. Evil. Got to me, that case. We never found him and, well, I left the force soon after. Lost the heart. I was only a kid. I just started my career and I couldn't face knocking around at home then. Too close to the scene of the crime, if you like. So, me and the missus emigrated. And then, well, I suppose I felt like I was ready to give it a go again.
But Stock Squad, rather than Murder Squad.
What can I say? I'm fond of animals. Oh, excuse me, folks, I better take this. Hello, mate, what you got for me this time?
So, how have you been?
Since when? Since you left me or since I nearly died?
Both.
Fine. Thanks for asking.
No worries. Look, Tess, you know, it wasn't anything...
Tess here. Go ahead.
Hi, boss. Got a bit of an incident up at the mine. Security say a fight broke out between some of the contractors. They can't handle it and need our help.
Yep, we'll be there in half an hour. Thanks, Grace. Guess your grovelling apology will have to wait.
Tess had made the headlines a couple of years after we split, when she was nearly killed trying to break up a bar fight. She and this other cop waded in and it turned nasty. Tess ended up with this guy stamping on her head. Weeks in intensive care, months off work, after which Tess got shoved off to a quieter beat. So that's where I'd heard the name Hopeton before. Just hadn't put two and two together.
Break it up!
Get away from him! Back off!
Science, mate!
Yeah, all right, it's all over. Get back to work.
Hello, Keith. So what's the story?
Oh, bit of argy-bargy between regular shift workers and contractors. Got out of hand. Just personal stuff. Be all forgotten by tomorrow.
Look like Aussies against foreigners to me. Dear Si Kwong, you are?
Keith Stevenson.
Keith runs S&S personnel, supplying foreign contractors for the mine operation.
That's right.
So what started it?
Keith! Phone!
Look, I've got to go. Like I say, something and nothing. It'll all be sorted out over a couple of beers tonight.
Bye, Keith.
You get this a lot?
Time to time. Payday, usually.
The usual tribal S&M crap.
One of the downsides of being a boom town. And don't believe all that storm in a teacup, balls. Things have been building up for some time.
Well, we're done here. Grace, you looked into any suspicious activity around Starbuck Bay?
I was just about to head out there. Fancy a drive?
Suits me.
Well, we'll finish up here then, Jim.
Starvation Bay.
That's what the settlers called it when they came here. They found it tough going. Beautiful though, isn't it?
Can't say I see it. Place looks like just about everywhere else in the Great Southern. Red earth, cloudless blue sky broken by an endless flat horizon.
I remembered where I knew you from. You were on the recruitment posters, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. That was a while ago.
I hope you don't mind me saying, but I used to dream about you.
Aye?
Oh, no, not like that. No, I mean, when all my mates were winding me up about joining the police and calling me a coconut and a sellout, I'd think about you on the poster. Step forward. That's what you said on the poster. Step forward. So I did. Still think about it now. I'm up against the tinted glass ceiling, too.
Well, I'm pleased to know I'll always have a place in your heart, Grace.
Starvation Bay is no more than a few shacks and a boat ramp running into the water. Flat and bright blue in the fading heat of the day.
Ah, someone's back from fishing. Let's have a word.
A green vintage 1970s Land Rover is parked halfway down the boat ramp, with its trailer sitting empty in the water. Whoever owns it isn't expecting to share the ramp today, or doesn't care.
Catch anything?
Ah, a few herring. Skippers. Had better days.
Strange accent. Pommy, maybe. But with an Australian twang, so obviously not fresh off the boat.
You cops, then?
Yeah. Detective Senior Constable Kwong. This is Constable Fisher, Hopeton Police.
G'day.
All right. Don't get over to Hopey much.
I didn't catch your name.
That's because I didn't throw it, son. It's Billy Mather.
Well, Billy, we've had a body washed up at Hopi, and we're trying to identify who it is and how it got there.
A body?
Have you noticed anything unusual around here the last few days, Mr. Mather? Strangers, people coming and going at all times?
Couple of camper vans been through last week.
Anything distinctive about them?
Yeah, camper vans, you know. White boxes on wheels.
Well, thanks, Mr. Mather.
Billy!
And if we need to contact you?
Well, there's my caravan there through the trees. If I'm not there, I'm fishing or somewhere about.
Do you have a mobile number?
They don't work out here. Not that I'm complaining, like. Bye now!
By the time we get back to Hopeton, it's evening, and I'm whacked. End of day two, and it's all clear as mud on the flipper case. Just as Hutchins wanted it. Buckley heads for the pub. I park up at the beach where Flipper was found.
You like animals as well?
What?
Jim Buckley has a fondness for animals. Just wondered how you ended up in Stock Squad.
Tess, do we have to?
Each to his own, I know, but I was surprised to hear about high-flying, fast-tracking Kato Kwong chasing escaped livestock across the outback. Didn't sound like your cup of tea. Oh, sorry. Artisan coffee.
You've been drinking, Tess.
What if I have? I'm off duty. Yeah.
Why don't you get in?
So, come on, Kato. Spit it out. Oh, for heaven's sakes, nothing you can say will make me despise you any more than I do right now.
Remember that Coburn newsagent murder?
Your shopkeeper got a head pulped during a robbery.
Well, Mick Hutchins' team picked up the first poor sort they saw on the street and pinned it on him. Got a confession out of him.
Really? You surprise me.
It was one of my first cases on his team. My job was to make sure the statement fitted the confessions Hutchins had conjured up. When it all hit the fan and they found the real killer, by accident as usual, the inquiry showed that the paper trail led to...
Mug. I didn't see your name in the papers, though.
Spin doctors drew a bamboo curtain over it. After all, I was the poster boy for the new multicultural police service. Anyway, Hutchins moved me sideways and downwards, all the way down to Stock Squad. Bit of an insult to them, they reckon.
What I don't get is, why you didn't just get out? Make a fresh start.
Maybe I wanted to prove something to myself. Maybe I still do. What?
The Chinese have a thing about losing face, don't they?
Those cultural awareness classes have been the making of you, Tess.
Morning, officers. How's it going?
Ugh. Hi, Pam. You seem happy.
Friday morning. The weekend starts here.
Which reminds me, it's my turn with Jake this weekend. Better phone Jane and make my excuses. That'll go down like a cup of cold...
Little bird tells me someone was in the pub till chucking out time.
All right, I confess.
No coffee for you?
No, thanks. Hey, Pam, looks like you're all right about the drug syndicate.
Really?
Can't say anything more. That's where our investigations into the body on the beach are leading.
Really?
Eastern cartels.
Oh, I knew it.
Keep it under your hat, though, just between us. Okay, Pam?
Of course, officers. Mum's the word.
Hey, what are you playing at, Cato?
Just shaking the tree, Jim. It's a small town. If you start tongues wagging, you never know who or what might come out of the woodwork. The time's running out. Hutchins will have me replaced by Monday morning. And one thing he taught me is sometimes you have to play a little fast and loose to get quick results. Jim?
Sorry.
What's with a notebook? Writing a novel?
There's... no. A bit of...
Bit of what?
Well, if you must know, I'm doing a bit of investigating myself.
Spill.
What? You remember that murder I told you about back home? Well, I found a newspaper report a while back described a murder of a mother and kids with exactly the same M.O. in Adelaide.
I see.
I mean, there's probably nothing in it, but I keep my ear to the ground, you know? Chase up reports and that, stick them in my scrapbook, anything that sounds like it might be him.
Grace, any news on the Miss Purse?
Nothing. Got some news on those camper vans, though. Two old couples from New South Wales travelling around the coast, blowing their pensions before they die.
Morning, all.
Sergeant McGuire. Glad you could make it.
Sorry, I have a 14-year-old daughter I have to get to school.
How is Melissa?
Hello, Senior Sergeant Tess McGuire.
Grace, camper vans.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, seems these folks were up at Stavo last week, and Mr. Redman has a prostate problem. So about 2:15 Thursday night, he steps out to do his business and notices some lights down near the boat ramp.
Where we were with Billy. Mm. You best get back on him and double-check on those lights.
Yes, boss.
Thanks, Sally. I appreciate it. Hey, give my best to Brian. All right. That was the ranger from Fitzgerald River National Park. She was out in the boat off Coin Head this morning, following up on reports of something bobbing in the water. Thought it might be a seal caught in a fishing line. Turns out to be something else. A human head.
Coin Head lies about 40 kilometres westwards up the gravel road to Mount Barron. The Coin Head head, or bob, as it was immediately known, is sitting in the ranger's fridge.
Oh, gee.
The head lies sideways on the top shelf. The eyes are missing, hair black. Nose, ears and lips have been fish or crab nibbled, and there's a strand of green mossy seaweed clinging to the chin.
Hey, is this a spitting image of you, Cato? What about the Chinese bloke we saw in the phone box when we came into town? Fella in overalls.
One of our friends from the mine. What colour were the overalls?
Blue and yellow.
Contractor. Mine staff wear orange fluoros.
Anyway, nobody from the mine has been reported missing.
Then again, we haven't asked.
Or they haven't been missed. There's over 2,000 people working the mine. Most of them fly in, fly out, and that doesn't include the contractors and subcontractors.
Right. We need a list of all the Chinese nationals or Chinese Australians on their books. Then we do a roll call. Second thoughts, I'll get the full list of all employees. We're not just looking for a victim here.
Oh, bloody idiots!
Didn't they see us?
They will in a bloody minute.
Turn it off! Now!
The driver, late 20s, still in his mine contractor fluoros, with a smell of cigarettes and a strong whiff of BO.
License, please.
In the front passenger seat, a similar model, male, late 20s, grungy bogan. In the back, another male, flanked by two young females.
One of the girls seems to be conjoined at the face with this fella and is tugging at his zipper, oblivious to the audience. Tess shines her torch on the happy couple. They disentangle and heads turn.
Melissa?
It must have been payday at the mine. Amphetamines, ecstasy, and GHB fantasy, the so-called date rape drug, all in small amounts for personal use, and enough booze to fuel the Navy. That's the haul from the souped-up UV and the cashed-up mine contractors, plus a video camera. Melissa and her mate Stacy are high as kites on the Eckies and at least half a dozen Alco Pops.
Your praises for guessing how this lot were planning to spend pay night.
All right, this way, young lady.
All right, Tess.
I'll see you in the morning.
Hats and high-vis jackets, please, folks.
Bright and early, we're at the nickel mine to do a roll call of the Chinese contractors. Tess hardly says a word on the drive up.
Mind your backs!
And the contractor, Keith Stevenson, seems less than pleased to see me.
The chinks are waiting by the canteen. No offence.
Offence taken, Mr. Stevenson.
All right, listen up. This is a policeman. He's investigating the death of a Chinese man.
This is like a kung fu movie.
Except they're wearing blue and yellow fluoro overalls. 14 Chinese workers lined up.
There's nothing to be afraid of. When you hear your name called, answer loud and clear. Understand? Jiao Lin?
Yes.
Gong Lu Ming?
As each worker hears his name read out, he steps forward.
Zhou Yu.
That's me.
Like they're being introduced for the 100-meter backstroke.
Yes.
Shh. Hai Chen?
Hai Chen? Anyone seen Hai Chen?
Oh, he must have scarpered. It happens. Family troubles, usually.
Then one of the workers steps forward. He holds his hands out, ready to be cuffed, head bowed, as if in shame.
Yes, well, come on, mate. Speak up.
Chen dead. I kill him.
Interview with Guan Yu. Present are Senior Sergeant Tess McGuire and Detective Senior Constable Kwong conducting.
Mr. Guan, this morning you told me that you killed Hai Chen. Tell me exactly what happened.
This is going to be fun.
What's the matter, Kato?
I don't speak Chinese.
What?
My parents wanted me to be Australian, all right?
Oh,
Thursday night. You and Hai Chen. What happened?
Thursday.
Luckily, Guan Yu speaks more English than I do Chinese.
Hai Chen.
From that and his mime act, Guan Yu's story seems to be that Hai Chen came to the caravan where Guan and his mates lived, demanding money. He was always demanding money. There was an argument, a lot of shouting, a bit of a struggle, and Guan hit Hai Chen over the head with a stick.
Chen, fall down. He dead.
And what happened to body? Hai Chen, where he go?
Guan showed me how he and his mates covered the body up. Intending to bury him in the morning, I guess. They went to sleep, and when they woke up...
Chen? Gone. Nowhere.
What's the point of the Chinese detective if he doesn't even speak Chinese?
Oh, that's made my day, that.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Well, at least we're getting somewhere.
That's true.
All right, then.
Oh, I'm off down a pub. You're not coming?
Yeah, don't think so. I'm bushed.
It's Friday night, man. Buy you a pint or three. Come on, you cracked the case.
Yeah, nah, mate. Got to prepare for tomorrow.
Oh, Chinese for dummies, eh?
Ha ha dee ha. No, I'm tired.
Fair enough. See you at breakfast.
When did I turn into this boring bloke with no friends and no one to talk to? Before my marriage broke up, obviously. Seeing as Jane cited it as one of the main reasons for leaving me. I should go to the pub, buy Jim a drink and put the world to rights. Or I should call Jane, apologise for not taking Jake. Or I should call Tess. I should, but I know I won't. Anyway, now I've found our killer, Hutchins might think about pulling me out of Stock Squad. Dear Sequel.
Kato?
Tess, what do you want? It's the middle of the night.
Half five.
You all right, Tess?
It's Jim Buckley. He's dead.
Looks like Jim suffered two major head wounds. I'd say the killer first bounced the rock off the back of his head from a short distance behind to incapacitate him. Then, once he'd gone down, he or she, followed it up by dropping it on his head again.
Jeez.
Whoever did this wanted Jim dead, that's for sure.
He told me he was going to the pub.
The barmaid said he had a few beers, steak and chips dinner.
Did she see anything unusual?
No. No fights, no arguments. Apparently he disappeared for a short while mid-evening, stayed until closing time around midnight.
Any other witnesses?
Well, the barmaid said Justin Woodward and his girlfriend were in the pub earlier, but they left soon after Jim came in.
Really? The same Justin that Jim had a run-in with the other day?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What? Kato?
Nothing, just... Any sign of Hutchins and the big boys from Albany?
Landed half an hour ago. Should be here any minute.
And we don't know why Jim came outside.
For a fag, maybe. There's a couple of butts over there. Or to make a phone call. His mobile's still turned on.
Check the call lists, numbers, in and out, and CCTV. Could it be a robbery?
No. The wallet and keys are still in his pocket. Oh, crap. Here we go.
Wait there, you lot. Where's Kato?
Sir?
Can't trust you to do a simple bloody job. Unbelievable.
I'm good, thanks. We're all bearing up well after the tragedy.
Don't you bloody dare. Right, everybody, I'm Detective Inspector Mick Hutchins, and this is my team. We'll be handling things from now on. Jesus, Kato, what have you been playing at? Right. The postman, when he found the body.
We took a statement.
I want him interviewed again by a real detective. Any CCTV footage from the pub?
We're waiting for them to get it.
Get it. Now, honestly.
Yes, sir.
All right, Kato, tell me what you're hiding.
Suspicion, speculation, guesswork. That's all I've got to work with. Someone from Jim's past, known for dealing speed and ecstasy. The very same drugs found in the car last night with Tess's daughter. Maybe the two were connected. Maybe someone was back in business and Jim got in their way.
And does this someone have a name? Three, two, one, go.
Our police, get down on the floor!
Hey, what's going on?
On the floor, sunshine.
What have I done?
Justin Woodward, I'm arresting you on suspicion of murder. Get on the floor, you drongo, or you'll be shot.
Justin is in a police cell before you can say skinny latte. Hutchins leaves him to stew overnight and makes sure he's woken up every half hour. So by Sunday morning...
You look rough as a wallaby's ass, Justin.
Thanks.
Right. Detective Sergeant Buckley turning up like a bad penny. That must have really ruined your day.
Don't know what you mean.
Did your girlfriend know about your drug pushing past?
No comment.
Strange coincidence. You and her in the pub with D.S. Buckley, and you leave just before he gets killed?
We were horny. That's why we left.
Must be a mint to be made these days. Your line of work.
Coffee. We're doing okay?
No.
We're talking amphetamines, ecstasy, GHB, Hopeton's full of miners with money to burn. One of our officers pulled over a car last night full of the drugs you push.
Nothing to do with me.
There were three fellas from the mine and two teenage girls in the car.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
One girl was 14 years old.
Like I say, nothing to do with me. Face it, mate, you've got nothing on me. Now, you're going to let me go or what?
You've released Justin Woodward. What's the story?
We're waiting for the results of forensic tests.
Woodward still a suspect?
Don't want to make any more comments at this stage.
What about the headless torso? Is it true that this... Wan Yu is a member of a Chinese triad.
I don't know where that rumour came from, but I wouldn't be surprised. Now, thank you very much. Excuse me, I have to talk to Detective Buckley's family. A Chinese interpreter? Any idea how much that's going to cost?
With respect, sir, that's not the point.
My suspect speaks hardly any English.
And with respect, you're telling me the only chinky copper on the force can't order a takeaway in his own language.
My parents are Chinese, I'm Australian, so maybe I'll take evening classes.
Don't try it with me, Cato. I'm sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage with the Perth bean counter breathing down my neck.
You put me onto this case. I've got a suspect who confessed to murder.
Oh, yeah, all right. Get on to Albany, see if they can fly someone down who can translate. And in the meantime, I want you in there getting some answers out of Fu Manchu.
His name's Guan Yu.
Yes. What?
Sorry, sir. Cato, can I have a word?
Just give us a sec, all right?
Sure, I'll be outside.
What is it?
I saw you release Justin Woodward. What's the latest?
Doesn't look good, not that it concerns you. Forensics have been through Jim's mobile. Only number he called the night he died was a newspaper reporter in Adelaide.
Makes sense.
Why?
Well, Jim was doing a bit of cold case investigation in his own time. Well,
thanks for keeping me informed.
You think he could be connected?
Of course I bloody don't. Justin Woodward's our man. Well, I've got sod all to link him with Jim, other than that they both happened to be in the pub last night.
Well, maybe Justin's got nothing to do with it.
Do I look stupid? Of course he has. We've just got to find the evidence.
Find the evidence?
What's that look for? Oh, I see. Don't you come holier than thou, Cato. Somebody spread a rumour in this town about drugs being connected with the body on the beach. Well, that somebody might just have got Jim Buckley killed. Remember that.
Didn't know you smoked.
Want one?
Thanks. Hutchins is in a good mood.
As usual.
I'll be out of here soon.
All the way to Albany?
Who knows? Anyway, what did you want?
Perth pathologist rang. They've done tests on the head. It's a match for the body. Should be able to get a DNA match to prove it's high Chen.
Good. And forensics carried out a search on Paddy's field. The caravan site where Guan Yu says he killed high Chen. They found a fence post under a caravan with traces of human hair and blood on it.
Uh-huh. The report also pointed out a recently broken nose and a gash on the back of the head.
Oh, better and better.
Open and shut case.
Looks like it.
Yeah. Well, don't get excited, Sherlock. You haven't got your old job back yet. Pathologist also pointed out one other tiny thing. They found a bullet lodged in Hai Chen's skull.
Hai Chen was shot.
In episode one of Prime Cut, Cato Kwong was played by Andrew Leung and Tess McGuire by Christine Stephen Daly. Mick Hutchins was Richard Delane, Jim Buckley, Stephen Rodri, and Grace Fisher, Rio Holland. Billy Mather was Philip Fox, Pam the waitress, Kerry Goodison, Justin Woodward, Leo Wong. And Keith Stevenson was played by Mark Little. Crime Down Under, Prime Cut by Alan Carter was dramatised for radio by Adrian Bean. It was a BBC Cymru Wales production, directed by Helen Perry.